Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast. We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns. If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon. And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Right, welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. Tonight we are playing a scenario from the Mansions of Madness supplement, which was voted by Twitter. It's called The Cracked and Crooked Manse. From what I understand, it was created in Australia for a tournament game, and it is as deadly as you'd expect a tournament game to be. So good luck, guys. We have already generated characters, so let's talk about who we are and what we're playing. Do you want to start off, Owen?
So, hi guys, I'm Owen. I'm playing the university professor. He's a professor of mythology called Tobias Higginbottom. Currently, I'm researching a local legend in the area about a mysterious goatman.
And next we have Dave. Who are you and who are you playing tonight?
My name's Finn Anders. He's a son of Dutch immigrants to Boston. He's a hard-nosed, Dirty Harry-esque detective. He loves a good fight.
We are extremely honoured and lucky tonight to be joined by Call of Cthulhu veteran Curran, who played Harold the late, great Harold Mudd.
Spoilers.
Who are you playing tonight, Curran?
I am playing Sylvester von Heidenberg. You know, I am a Napoleonic complex. I'm basically, I'm very angry. But it's like a... I don't know. I don't know about how angry, but yeah, I'm basically, I'm rich, I'm short, I'm German.
Definitely entitled.
Very entitled. I love getting my way. But yeah, I think I'm charming, but really I'm just slimy. It's probably the best description. We'll see how this goes.
Aaron, do you want to tell us about who you are and who are you playing tonight?
Yes, hello everybody. I'm back, Aaron, playing the familiar and well-worn trodden role of Spencer Randall. I'm very happy to be back in this role.
And we're going to start with Spencer tonight. So if you read the source book, it actually says to start in February, but for various reasons which will become apparent, I don't think February works for this game. So we're actually going to move the entire narrative on a few months into July, which means that you have a few months of downtime. What do you think Spencer would be doing with his time? And I'm going to give you some chances to improve some skills or perhaps regain some sanity.
Yes, probably regain sanity, because, you know, it's been a while since the Innsmouth incident, and, you know, maybe a few drinks and a few, you know, brain doctor visits.
Brain doctor.
I can't think of the word right now. Yeah, I would say psychologist. There we go. Thank you very much. That was
okay.
The word I was looking for.
Are you going to self-treat, or do you think you might maybe...
Brain doctor up.
Take yourself to an asylum or a sanitarium?
No.
Shock therapy, man.
No. I've seen the inside of those places. So maybe...
Vouched for them.
So maybe I would just... you know, say that I'm having trouble at the moment and then make up some lie about, you know, having a really scary ex-partner or something, rather than saying, you know, I've dealt with Dagon, because they would probably lock me up for that. So I'm going to sort of self-medicate myself.
So self-medication. What I'm going to do then is I'm going to get you to roll 3D100s.
Ooh.
Can you give me the results of what you get?
I can. Hang on.
Aaron needs to quit the show right now and start a late night, easy listening show.
Okay,
okay.
Smooth jazz coming to your ears.
So we're 30.
109 is what I've just rolled.
So, well, that's the amount of together. So you actually got a 13, a 72, and a 24. So because you're self-medicating, I'm going to say that you need either an extreme or a hard success. Your 13 is an extreme success. Your 24 is a hard success. So I'm going to say you may regain 6 sanity.
Oh, hell yeah. That's 25.
So half as sane as a normal.
So
person.
I'm gonna say we're gonna start the narrative one July evening. The heat is on. It's a very, very warm July night. The windows of your office are opening and there's a hustle and bustle around you. Since the Spencer Randall Incorporated Detective Agency was syndicated across the East Coast, business has been booming. And currently all your investigators are out solving various puzzles. You have links to the local Boston police, and of course you are now linked to the newly formed Delta Green under Lucas Mackey and the FBI, although much has happened over the last few months with that. The office is empty. You hear a knock on the door, and I believe Sally, your receptionist, a beautiful, curvy woman, opens the door and looks around the office, spies you in the corner and makes her way over. She's about to say something when the phone rings next to you. A piercing sound in the heavy air of the night.
Hello, you're through to Spencer.
Spencer, is that you? It's Lucas Mark here.
Hello, Lucas.
I have some bad news, I'm afraid. We have been unable to resolve the Bartholomew Ormond affair. He has been moved to us out of the Roxbury and to a special care facility that have experience in dealing with the nature of his affliction. We've called it a specialist, and I'm just wondering if we encounter you in a week or so to come and visit. We could do with someone who was there during the breakdown.
Well, I kind of know what he's been through, so of course I'll do anything to help my good friend.
How have you been keeping over the last few months?
You know how it is, Mackie. The work's come in slow, but we're getting there, you know.
World is going to shit, my friend. Incidents of the supernatural becoming alarmingly common. Innsmouth, Corbett, Salem, the Deadlight. I don't know if you heard about that meteorite falling in the blasted heath a few months ago. The asylums are full to bursting. Something big is on the way. I just phoned to let you know.
It's one hell of a shit show out there. We've really got to try and start getting to the bottom of all this. I feel that even though we may have destroyed the stone, there perhaps may be something else out there.
Well, I'll be in touch when the specialist is ready for Bartholomew. See you soon, Mark. See you soon, Spencer. Take care.
And he hangs
Take
up.
Take care, Mackie.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir, but this came for you. It looks like a case. I can assign it to one of the junior detectives if you want. Is there anything more I can do for you this evening?
No, Sally, thank you. Just leave it on my desk. I've got an afternoon free. I might be able to take a look at it myself.
She places down a thick envelope with an unfamiliar postcode, if they had such a thing. Zip code? I don't know.
Zip code, yeah.
Whatever the stamp would be on the corner of the letter, on the side of your desk, sort of pushing aside one of the empty whiskey bottles, and strolls out of the office, and you're left staring out into the hazy Boston night.
I stroll over to the desk and pick up the file from the top of the desk and tear open the seal on the top of the envelope and open the documents. Inside, there is a letter. The letter is from the Dodge Brothers, attorney at law, 14 Main Street, Gamwell, Connecticut, dated January the 30th, 1925. Dear Sir, it reads, I have been referred to you by a mutual friend. As his attorney, I am very interested in locating the missing Mr. Arthur Cornthwaite and our associate mentioned your name as being one skilled in locating missing people, particularly those of Mr. Cornthwaite's persuasion. Thus, I have taken the liberty of contacting you. I am a partner of an established legal firm in Gamwell. Mr. Arthur Cornthwaite is one of our clients, and as his attorneys, we hold certain documents in trust for him. It would appear that Mr. Cornthwaite has departed without notifying us of his movements. This leaves us in a quandary as to how to manage his estate in his absence without his authority in such matters. We would like you to locate Mr. Cornthwaite and obtain from him his wishes in respect of this matter, or better still, request that he contacts us. If it should, heaven forbid, transpire that Mr. Cornthwaite is no longer with us, then we will need some evidence of same to proceed with his wishes as outlined in his last will and testament. Hopefully this is an unnecessary contingency, but one which we must nevertheless consider in the light of Mr. Cornthwaite's mysterious departure. I hope that you are free to give this matter your immediate attention, and would like to extend an invitation to you to attend an interview at our offices as soon as it is convenient, to discuss both the details of the situation and your professional fees. Anticipating a prompt reply, yours faithfully, Walter Dodge.
I think at that moment the screen fades to black, spooky music plays, and we start you off on your journey the next day, if that's all right. Is there anything you want to pick up before the game starts?
Well, obviously my trusty gun never leaves my holster from within my jacket.
You didn't have a gun, you had a hand cannon.
Gamwell is a small hamlet nestled far out in the heart of farming country, about 90 miles west of Boston, about halfway to Albany. It is a secluded and isolated area, not yet connected by telephone, telegraph, or even the railway. However, the drive is a pleasant one. It is a lovely July afternoon. The air is delicate with the scent of pine woods. Now and then you hear a wood pigeon brooding over its own sweet voice, or see, deep in the rustling fern, the burnished breast of a pheasant. Little squirrels peer at your automobile from the beech trees as you drive by, and the rabbits scuttle away through the brushwood and over mossy knolls with their white tails in the air. The time is roughly 3 o'clock, and you are on track to reach the town of Gamwell and the offices of the Dodge Brothers before they close. Spencer, you are driving. And I believe, Dave, you are his companion. Who are you again, and what is your connection to this tale? Why are you in the car?
My name's Finn Anders, and my buddy Spence here calls me around every time he needs a bit of extra muscle and an extra pair of, you know, professional detective's eyes on a matter. And my buddy's been a bit skittish the past few months, and, you know, he's feeling a bit insecure, so he gave me a call and I rushed down to help him, because, hey, who doesn't like a few extra bucks?
That's an amazing accent.
It's really good.
That's an amazing.
I will be very pleased if I can
keep it. He's either playing Matt Damon and or Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's at this point, Dave, actually out of game, Dave noticed a very important clue. So I said do it in character. So do you want to do this now? So maybe, Dave,
sure.
You're kind of glancing over the letter, sort of trying to decide exactly what's going to happen. What's, you know, reading over your game itself.
So as the car sort of bumps over the roads out to Gamwell, and says, like, hey, Spencer, where's this enclosed article they're talking about from the Gamwell Gazette?
Hey, calm down, Anders. It's in the back. It should be on the back seat somewhere on a case. You should see it somewhere.
Right. I sort of lean over and shuffle around in the endless crates of notes and files and books, just the mess that's the backseat of Spencer's car. I told you we should have brought my car. I got him cleaned by the rookies.
Hey, if it's any...
Nice cop car.
Anders, if it's anything like I prefer to drive, you know, I've seen your driving before.
He's driven many cars. Hey, he's really experienced.
I've seen the remains of your cars, buddy. You ain't got nothing to talk about.
Okay, on the back seat is the envelope that the letter came in, and tucked inside it is a folded article from what looks like a local paper. The paper it's printed on is cheap. The ink has run a bit, but it's quite clearly an article which has been carefully cut, folded, and added to the envelope along with the letter.
Okay, I'll read it. Gamwell millionaire absent. Hey, your client's a millionaire. This could be good for us. Gamwell's most prosperous son, Arthur Cornthwaite, posh, dumbass name, will be seen at will not be seen at church over the next few weeks. My reading was never too good. Mr. Cornthwaite has apparently left the area for a time, possibly for a vacation or in relation to his studies. Some mystery surrounds Mr. Cornthwaite's departure, as it came without notice. However, an inspection of his mansion and grounds, he's got grounds, this guy, by the Sheriff Whitford, has revealed no cause for alarm. The last person to speak with Mr. Cornthwaite was his attorney, Mr. Walter Dodge. Hey, isn't this the guy we're going to go see?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, right. On the 7th of this month, at that time, he gave no indication of his imminent departure. But according to Mr. Dodge, he seems quite preoccupied, no doubt, with his travel plans. We all know well that besides being a Gamwell landowner, big money, Mr. Cornthwaite was also a millionaire. Can they rub this in anymore, the millionaire? A scholar and a philanthropist.
Philanthropist.
What's a philanthropist?
Philanthropist.
What's a philanthropist?
God damn you, Anders.
What's one of them?
Means he's rich.
And an ex... Okay. And an explorer. He may have been off laying the groundwork for some future exciting expedition, or perhaps just relaxing for a time in New York. Hey, my hometown! Gamwell citizens will no doubt remember fondly Mr. Cornthwaite's numerous generous donations to local charities and to the town library, and join us in wishing him a safe and happy return. From the Gamwell Gazette, January 17, 1925.
That was amazing. My readings was never so good.
Out of my ass.
It was unbelievable because you fucked up. I was like, oh, my readings was never too good.
Love it.
That was fucking immense.
Just aside, because if we're going to be playing Masks of Nine and Arthur Tap, I've had to change the date to 1924. So that's the only thing that's changing.
1924.
Fantastic. And your reward, the driver of the car, can you please make me a luck roll?
Just jumping straight into it, are we?
Hang on, shouldn't it be a drive roll?
Yes. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Why would you change that, Aaron? Even though you have good drive, you always crash. You always crash.
Like I said, I seen the remains of his cars. The ones that he didn't lose.
Is it only number four?
I thought it was more.
So I pass with the 42 out of 52.
Okay, the winding road is pretty well kept for what you'd expect, but as you crest a rise, there is a fallen tree on the other side. You spin the wheel. The car almost loses control. You manage to keep control with your 42, dodge round the tree, but there is a clunk and a horrible grinding sound from within your car, and it grinds to a halt.
Told you I should have drive.
Shut up, Anders.
Driven. My mom would be slapping the back of my head. Driven.
I'm loving this character so much. Please don't kill him, George.
Okay, you get out of the car, lift up the bonnet, and it appears that some of the leaves and detritus from the tree has managed to get caught up in... I'm not even going to try and pretend I know how cars work. You can try classic, and repair it. Can you give me a mechanical repair roll?
And ladies and gentlemen, tonight in the role of inspiration is Kentucky Wild Turkey 101.
Wild Turkey. What
proof
an amazing
Kentucky
drink.
Straight bourbon.
What an amazing drink. Cheap, dirty whiskey. Amazing result.
Hey, Anders. How good are you at motors?
Well, they run, don't they? They take the gas in one end and power comes out the other end and smoke and Not too good, basically, is what I'm saying. Not too good.
Do either of you guys, are you trained in mechanical repair? Do you have any...
I'm just trying to find it, man.
Do I look like a mechanic? Are my hands covered in grease? See that? No, that's a manicure. I know it's a newfangled thing, but it's a manicure.
Your hair's certainly covered in grease.
I don't care if we never do anything. We just have a rage of just these two characters.
Actually.
Okay, guys, can you give me rolls?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I haven't.
Basically,
used this
from Twitch, can you tweak the gasket, crack the shaft, and wibble the thingy?
I've got the electric repair. Will that
no.
I love how Aaron was definitely just buying time by insulting the fuck out of Dave's character.
Oh, we're
right. The one roll I didn't check is failing.
Whoa, okay, there's a clunk.
I make it worse, I roll a 94.
Something is snapped inside as Finn Amders pulls on something with his 94.
He takes out his brass knuckles and punches
guys.
Hang on, I was fixing the car. Not this grease monkey. And that's a fail. 42 out of 10.
I ain't no grease monkey. I may be a greaser, but I ain't no grease monkey.
Whatever, you mook, get out the way. I'm fixing this.
Hey, Mook, who you calling Mook?
Okay, about an hour's gone by and the car is no closer to being fixed.
Right. So, like, how far away is this town?
Spencer walks back a few steps, wipes his hand with an old rag and does a gun shooting action with his hand into the engine. Sorry, what roll?
You're shooting it now. Is that going to fix it?
If that's really low, then realistically, let's do straight up no roll. Give me your intelligence.
Intelligence, okay, that's better. Jesus Christ!
I got a 55. It's
a few hours walk. We'll probably about 10-15 miles out.
So what's so complicated? We follow the road, but I wore my nice shoes. Spence, these are nice shoes. These cost $10. You're paying me for a new pair of shoes, and now I gotta walk 15 miles.
I'll buy you a goddamn another pair of shoes. Let's go.
My cobbler is not gonna be happy when he sees these.
My cobbler's not gonna be happy when he sees these. Oh my god.
So we start.
I'm paying Dave's cobbler next episode if I die. He's gonna be angry to have the fucking shoes.
I include
you. You pick up your bags. Are you gonna? Did you say you had like a shotgun or something? You're gonna be taking? I can't remember what you said in terms of weapons and things. Is there anything?
Yeah, I didn't take. I didn't get a shotgun. I just got various dirty, nasty weapons secreted about.
Okay, it's almost dark by the time you approach the hamlet, which is nestled between neighboring hills and the large farming properties that surround it for miles around. As you crest the final rise and look upon the ancient town, the sky becomes suddenly overcast with clouds, and a curious stillness seems to hold the atmosphere. A great flight of rooks passes overhead, and by the time you trudge down to reach the outskirts, some huge drops of rain have fallen. It is not long before the drops have become a downpour.
Now, Spencer, this is why I never leave the city. Expensive coat, expensive hat, expensive shoes, all ruined now thanks to your damn driving.
Hey, if it wasn't...
We were in my car, we could have just radioed.
If it wasn't for my damn driving, we'd be stuck in the middle of a tree right now trying to pull our faces out the bark.
Well, with your face, who could tell the difference?
Are you guys walking and talking?
Anyway, shut up and walk. Yeah, we're walking and bitching.
I picture two old guys in the Muppets, you know, Wilbur and what's his name?
Can you guys give me a spot hidden roll, please, as you trudge through the town and kind of reach... It's not a main square, it's not a circular square, it's not Innsmouth. This is just a road with a few shops and buildings off it. There's quite a lot of residences.
Ho, 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 ho. I roll a 4 against 50.
Okay, an extreme success. You get a very good layout of the town, so... looking around, even through the driving rain, which is now turning into a storm, you notice a few things on your walk. There is a town library. There's a town hall. You notice the sheriff's office, and the light is still on inside. You pass a small establishment, which is has a kind of rickety old sign outside that says the Gamwell Gazette. Again, there is a light on outside, on inside, shining out into the darkness. You see a boarding house advertised. There's a sign pointing in kind of away from the town square, advertising a boarding house. And you also see the Dodge Brothers office, and with your four, you can see a tiny little weaseled, washed-up little man in a grey suit who seems to be battling with the lock and an umbrella at the same time while trying to stop a bag and some papers falling onto the ground.
Hey, isn't that the office that we need?
Yeah, what the letter say? Yeah, that's the one, that's the name.
Yeah, the Brothers?
Yeah, let's go there. What time is it?
It's late.
Let me just look at my watch. What time is it?
It's summertime, so July, and it's dark, so I'm going to say it is 11:34.
At night, yep. And the light's on in the sheriff's office. We better go to the sheriff's office first so I can phone back to civilization and get a car sent out. I'll have one of the rookies drive it down. The sergeant over in the 36th owes me a favor.
Okay. As you stroll into the sheriff's office, you see the little wizened old man, the little wizened man by the Dodge office managed to finally win his battle with the door, and he begins to head off into the night. The door to the sheriff's office is locked, but the light is on, and you see a gruff-looking provincial sheriff behind a desk battling with a modern typewriter.
Can I knock at the window or the door?
He kind of looks up, sort of gazes at you angrily, and then looks down at his papers again.
Take out my badge and sort of hold it up to the window. You know, thin blue line and all that.
We both do that.
Badge? What badge? You're a PI. Stop getting delusions of grandeur.
He looks up, sighs deeply, and makes his way over to the door. He does not seem to be speeding up, and a gust of wind blows the rain around you. By the time he finally opens the door, you are extremely pissed off.
Yes? What can I do with you both? What are you doing here?
Sorry to disturb you. Checking out some leads in town from some stuff that may have happened back in Boston. But our car broke down. Can I use your phone to call back to Boston? Have one of our boys drive the car down?
You've never been to Gamwell before. Gamwell's not on the phone line. We don't even have the telegraph around here. We're not even connected to the railway. We don't have nothing.
No phone.
But come in out of the rain. Come in,
well,
both
I'm
of
very
you.
Sorry to hear that. Thank you. See, I told you, Spence. Cops everywhere. We're all the eternal fraternity.
What goddamn town doesn't have a phone line?
You're a long way from home, officer. What are you doing here?
Well, we're just chasing down something that might have been a bit of a local whatchamado.
Oh, yeah?
We got contacted by the Dodge Brothers lawyers. Yeah. You know, them shysters.
Those shysters, indeed.
About this Mr. Cornwaith, your local hoopty-da.
Cornthwaite?
That's the one.
That's nothing. That's nothing at all. You've wasted your time, boys.
What do you mean we've wasted our time?
Well,
he's obviously a traveller. I mean, what do you know about him?
Well, we've been given a case here to...
Do you know he's a millionaire?
I had heard, funnily enough.
Do you know he spends half of his life travelling around the world? He's just come back from South America a few months ago. He's probably gone back there. I went up to the house. No sign of him at all.
Does he live local?
About 10 miles away. He lives in the old Fitch, sir. And when he says the name of this, can you both give me a psychology roll? He lives up in the old Fitzgerald estate.
Oh, I'm rolling well. It's just PIs, isn't it? Yeah. It's detectives. Two extreme successes.
I got 7 out of 70.
4 out of 50, and I got 4 out of 50.
That's okay. 7 out of 70. Jesus Christ, I hate you people.
he obviously, when he says the Fitzgerald estate, there's something about that name which is obviously causing him so almost physical pain to say. And he very, very quickly tries to change the subject. Honestly, those lawyers, they need to go and mind their own business. They're obviously just after his will or whatever. Frankly, he doesn't need their permission to travel. He fired all his servants about a week ago. They're not there. They're all out of town as anyway. As I said, I went up there, had a look around. There's no sign of him, no car, no nothing. He is not there. You've wasted your time, boys. Now, I need to come and write report. Bloody out of town, and he's heads back.
Do you know...
One last favor. You got a mechanic in town? Like a car mechanic.
Car mechanic? Yeah. Old Jeb Blakely. Jeb Blakely, he'll be able to help you. Probably not tonight, though. You need to find somewhere to stay.
Have you got anywhere in mind?
Any recommendations in that particular department?
I would recommend the Haggerty Boarding House, but I don't think old Edith Haggerty will appreciate you two showing up looking like washed-out bloody creatures from the Black Lagoon. Hey, that's a good movie title.
Hey, it's all because of his driving.
Hey, anything else I can do for you fellas?
Nah, thank you very kindly,
Sheriff. I think we've exhausted ourselves here, thank you.
Right, he goes back and he's...
Exhausted already? You should do some exercises.
He's like typing on his typewriter, and he's like one finger at a time, and he's like mouthing the words. Give me spot hidden rolls, guys. Just see if you can work out what he's mouthing.
I roll a 20.
I'd love your rolls, guys. This is just amazing.
16 out of 24. 16 out of 50.
He's sounding out silently the words valuable animal.
Have I just rolled three extreme successes?
That was a hard success, yeah.
Hard success. Oh, goodness. I'm going to roll like shit for the rest of the game now.
Okay, anything you want to do here? The sheriff is called Sheriff Whitford, by the way.
Okay, what was he writing?
The words that you make out he's sounding out is valuable animal. He's really, really trying to work out how to spell valuable by the moment, how long it's taking him to spell that word.
Okay.
What's...
So, Spence, should we try and get out of this... Just, he's sort of shuffling around, freezing as water drips out. Should we try and get someone to stay and dry out? Because, you know...
No.
Meat and two veg are, like, shriveled up.
No, you know what? I thought I'd stand out on this porch all night getting my head rained on.
Ah, look at the comedian.
What do you think? Come on.
And I stomp off towards the boarding house.
About a 10-minute walk. The rain is easing. Or at least you think it is. Then there's a huge flash of lightning and then it kind of redoubles around you. Luckily, the cobbles are clean and so you're not too mud-strewn. And you arrive at a very, very upmarket looking boarding house. I kind of imagine it two or three floors, white picket fence, you know, something out of It's a Wonderful Life, that kind of thing. Outside is a
The Hills Are Alive.
That's the sound of music.
It's a long thing.
Very, very different vibe. No Nazis in this boarding house. Outside is a beautiful sign in kind of calligraphy that says the Haggerty Boarding House, and outside it says no chewing, no tobacco, no alcohol, no smoking, no unmarried couples, and no nonsense.
I might clarify that went no chewing, pause, no tobacco. It just sounds like no eating in this place whatsoever.
I think it actually says no chewing tobacco, but I think the woman is so strict she decided no chewing tobacco.
I hope everything comes in pill form then, because I'm hungry.
Funnily enough, the lights are on both the ground floor, the second floor, and one of the upper floor windows.
Ring the bell. Let's see if we can get anyone to answer.
Bing bong.
The bell is modern electric.
It's a modern electric bell.
And it plays a little tune.
It's always a Spanish flea.
Yeah. A tall, matronly old woman with a wizened face, like she's sucking on a lemon, has been sucking on a lemon all afternoon, opens the door, and she is voiced by Curran. Thank you very much, Curran.
I quickly take my hat off in the presence of a lady.
Hello.
sort of kick Spencer.
And I sort of like creep the door open.
I crack a grin as she starts talking.
Is there something funny?
I don't need my shit.
Hi, ma'am. I just wondered if you had a spare room for the night. You see, we're two visitors from out of town. Our car broke down a few miles just south of here. I was just wondering if you had a couple of spare rooms for the night.
Edith, who is that? Who's visiting us here at this time of night? Who is that?
It's a couple of no do-gooders.
Are you going to let them in? Making a breeze.
I assure you, ma'am, I'm a policeman from the great city of Boston. My friend here is a private detective. We're the ones that hunt down the no-gooders.
She does, like, I look at them some more, and I'm like,
I suppose.
And I sort of, like, you know, let the door open, but just slightly, like, uncomfortably letting you in.
So she kind of leads you into an immaculate hallway, and immediately the kind of dripping and mud from your shoes sort of stains the, I don't want to say carpet, maybe just like the mat, but you're kind of very, very conscious of how immaculate the room is. And she hands you like one of those sort of guest books to sign in, and she says that it's going to be, what should we say, $5 a night, which is extortionate, but it does include bed and breakfast and dinner this evening.
Remove your hat, coat, and shoes immediately.
Shoes?
I do as the little old lady says, and I hang them on the coat rack that's standing in the corner of the room.
She's just eyeballing you the whole time.
I live in the middle of Haas England to London. It just happens somewhere in mid Haas England, you just think Swingers Club. 100% Swingers Club.
Yeah. Okay,
gotta find all the dogging sites, eh?
A very, very short, very, very wide man comes in with a sort of rosy cheeks and a face that always seems to find a smile.
Ah, what are you doing here at this time of night? Come in. We've probably got a little bit of food left over for you.
We don't have any food at all, I swear. Not for them.
We've got some pie, Edith. We need to give them some of this damn fine pie.
That is for notable guests only.
When he says the words damn fine, she gets very angry immediately.
What have I told you about profanity?
It's not profanity, Edith. They're made with damn fine apples.
And he kind of looks over to you two and sort of gives you a wink.
Damn fine apples. They're from Europe, aren't they? A breed of apples made by,
Will you stop using the word damn?
It's not... I'm not swearing, Edith. They're damn fine apples. Grown by Baron Damfine and exported to America. Damn fine apples making a damn fine pie. Damn fine it is.
I've had it up to here with your profanity.
I can't do
it. It gives you
guys
another week.
Well, I don't know
about
no damn apples, but some pie sounds great, sir. Thank you kindly.
Come in. Edith, we could do with some pie for the gentleman. Come in, you two. You out of towners? Where are you from? New York? Boston?
Boston. We're from Boston.
Never been to Boston.
I hail from New York originally, but, yeah, he's done some stuff with some guys, and, you know, I transferred over, you know. Fresh start and all.
Come in.
And he chases you through to a large dining room. I imagine the decor is lots of kind of paintings of cats, sort of pink wallpaper, like lots of doilies and sort of really pointless tiny pillows that aren't really big enough to do anything with, but just everywhere.
What's her name's office from Harry Potter?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Welcome to the How We Roll News Show, real news in real time. This just in, those brave detectives Spencer Randall and Finn Anders will be back next week to continue their investigations into the cracked and crooked manse. In other news, the How We Roll podcast has received a new Patreon and would like to welcome Austin Reisslinger into the fold. He will be receiving their sincerest thanks and early access to episodes. You too can be like Austin by visiting our Patreon page. If that's too much for you, you can support the show through iTunes. Just one review can increase the podcast standings. That's all from us. Tune in next week for more exciting news. Now a word from our sponsor.
Are you tired and fed up of your home role-playing games falling flat?
Yeah.
Do you wish they sounded more like How We Roll Podcast?
Well, gee, yeah, I do.
With high-quality music and sound effects like this mighty dragon?
Wow, that would be brilliant!
Then don't be a nitwit. Wise up and visit battlebards.com for premium audio for less than the price of a ham sandwich. You can get tracks that will have your players going gaga over your games. So don't be a sad sack. Log on today. And remember, if it isn't BattleBards, then it isn't the bee's knees.